Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com. Hey.
Welcome back to the NutriMedical Report. We have for half an hour Professor Bill Warner, TSU, Tennessee State University. PoliticalIslam.com is the site. You need to get his books. It goes through in lineal time translation of the Hadith and the Quran. And when you read it, as I say, there's nothing really open to argument. It's just read it and realize what's going on. And the amount of violation of freedom of speech around the world is legend. One of the articles that I pulled up on Drudge, which I think I want you to spin off from, and I'm sure there's others that you've seen, Tommy Robinson compares jail to Guantanamo Bay, claiming inmates threw excrement at him. He's lucky to get out of there alive because he was thrown into a prison with a majority of Muslim inmates, and there was no reason to throw him in there without a trial or anything. Freedom of speech around the world is going, gone, isn't it, Bill?
Well, I know that I have had my speech censored many times. I've had venues I've been thrown out of. The censorship now is being put in as a corporate policy from what I call the Silicon Valley Titans, those people who know everything. They're all they're the new Democrat billionaires.
Right.
And here's what's happened to my life with censorship. Well, for a while on Twitter, I was getting 2,000 new followers every month. A year ago, that went down to less than 100.
Right.
Why did that happen all of a sudden? And it just happened. I was demonetized on YouTube. I was selling my book, Sharia Law for Non-Muslims, was Amazon's number one bestseller, they proudly proclaimed. And then about a year ago, I went from shipping hundreds of books a month to tens of books a month.
Right.
So these are just examples of what's happening on the web about censorship. So it's all of a sudden, I'm an old man, 77 years old. I grew up
right.
In America. I never thought that we would have the day in which free speech would be called hate speech. Because what happens is, Dr. Bill, if I offend somebody who is a protected minority, then it's hate speech. What if what I say is true? It doesn't make any difference whether it's true or not. They don't like it, so therefore it's hate speech. And of course, all this is purely subjective. So what I want to know is, how do I get on the short list of groups or people who cannot be offended so I can start complaining?
I think, you know, exactly. One of the things that's obvious is that basically conservative, people that are, say, Christians or believers in the Constitution are considered fair game, that you can't complain of hate speech if you're in one of these so-called protected or non-protected groups, in America. And we see this around the world. We see Christian persecution around the world and murder in these Middle Eastern countries. But yet, it's the policy even of Obama. They didn't protect, for example, Syrian Christians. I have Syrian relative Christians that go back to the first churches founded by Paul and by the apostles. And yet, these people were wiped out in Iraq and Syria. And when if they were brought to civil detention camps where they're on their way to Europe or elsewhere, they were in the back seat. I mean, they were murdered, persecuted, and destroyed, and not even allowed to come here as primary candidates, where the main persecution in these countries isn't Islam, it's against Christians and Jews, and against people that are against Islam, right?
Yep. Let me tell you a little personal story. I know a woman who is Chaldean Christian from Iraq, and her mother finally got to leave Iraq. She was on a 747. It was all migrants. Do you know
right.
how many Christians were on that airplane?
One. Right. Yeah.
That's wrong. But I tell you, we have to find a way of pushing back, because if we think, Dr. Bill, that we're going to sit around and be nicer and nicer, and therefore they'll say, well, you know, these two guys are actually nice people, so we won't complain when they talk and offend us. That day is not coming.
No. No, I think we need to take what I call a Joshua approach.
Yes?
Yeah, the Joshua approach is, he was following Moses, is when he was commanded by God, he went in and killed the Jebusites, Hivites, and other ites, and blocked them from coming into the promised land, or if they were there, killed them. And I think what we have to understand is we need to have a policy of non-tolerance to Islam, non-tolerance to Sharia law, non-tolerance to the fact that even places like Quebec, Canada, a few years ago, once they got a large enough minority, they tried to actually control even dietary laws in the schools in Quebec. And eventually you got to the Canadian government with their Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and it's not nearly as strong as the U.S. Constitution. So no way, you're not going to change the dietary laws of everybody else here. And of course, Quebecers are pork lovers, so there's no way that the Muslims are going to say that you can't have pork anymore. I mean, really, pretty crazy, eh?
Give you an example of how this is working in schools. It's in my personal family. My daughter's children brought home a thing from school. They live in Illinois, near Chicago, Illinois. Brought in a piece of paper that says they couldn't take gummy bears or marshmallows to school anymore.
Right.
Why?
Right.
They have gelatin in them. And the gelatin violates the Sharia law of diet. That is, it is haram. It's not halal.
Really?
So therefore, what happened was my daughter says, why is this? Well, it turns out she could never get them to say why they were doing it, the school board. They were just, it was just something that needed to be done. And no matter how hard she pressed on the issue, would they say that, well, actually, we have Muslims who've come and complained about it. So now we have, this is a form of censorship. This is a form, and that may sound like a strange censorship, but what it is we're being told that things that are otherwise ordinary, well, we can't do those. I have a friend who is migrated from India here 40 years ago.
Right.
And some of the most fervent patriots you'll ever meet are people who've come here from other countries. This
right.
man is fervent. He loves America. He said, the thing that I loved about America when I came here was not the wealth of the people, not the beauty of the women, but he says Americans had a quality which I had never thought even existed in a human being. They would tell you exactly what they thought. Now, he was living in New York at the time, which, of course, they used to have a real ability to do that. But he said, Bill, I hate to tell you, 40 years later, America is becoming Hinduized. People censor themselves before they speak.
Wow.
And self-censorship is the worst censorship. That's the reason they use the vilest terms. People don't ever say what I say is wrong. What they say is, oh, you're a hater, racist, bigot, Islamophobe. So I've made that now. That's just one word.
Yeah. They don't want to talk about the dialogue about whether or not it's intellectually correct or there's
no.
evidence based behind your...
Nope.
Because you don't even get into the religious aspects. As they say, that's why your site's called politicalislam.com.
The religion.
You don't touch the religion. You just talk about what is the politic of this so-called group and what is their modus and how are they affecting the world and why are they collaborating with globalists?
I cannot figure it out.
I can.
I figure it out.
I can tell you exactly why. I'll tell you why. Okay, just think of let's say that it's not Dr. Deagle. I'm a mob boss from Sicily. And somebody says, I have a friend who's a giant. He's 7 foot tall, and he's kind of a little dumb, but he'll do whatever you tell him to do. And he's a bad guy, okay? If you tell him to do something, but he's just kind of dumb. He's not really mean, but if you tell him to do something, even rip somebody's head off, he'll do it. So you got to think of Islam as that dumb giant that's been hired by the globalists to do whatever they're going to do. And eventually, they take the giant and drop him off the bridge or kill him, right? So it's the plan of the globalists, just like the three letters from Albert Pike, that eventually they want to destroy Islam after they finish using them. It's like taking the whore at 85 miles an hour out of the Cadillac, throw her out the window after you've raped her, and then break her bones and have her die spinning out to the side of the road and over a cliff. That's what the globalist plan is for Islam. It's not a nice, oh, we like you, Islamic people, or Islamic caliphs or whatever. No. they're going to use them and throw them aside like a used whore. Or a used, like this giant I said, that's good for doing whatever you want if you want to have a conciliary and kill somebody. Islam is just a useful idiot. And they are. I mean, honestly, they're easily motivated and steered by dogma, which really isn't religious. It's a geopolitical mind control system. It only is like Walid Shabbat said, who's the Palestinian former terrorist who married an American and became a Christian with his son. The son actually has their show, Shabbat.com, and they've been on this show many times. It's basically Islam is a mind control system. You can call it politic, whatever, but that's what it is. That's what politics is. Mind control of the population. And Islam is infiltrating like a metastatic cancer everywhere in the world. And it's useful idiots. And eventually the so-called globalists will off them as well, put a bullet inside of their head, and Muslim is gone. That's what I think. Consider the current alliance between globalists and Islam and the transhumanists, etc. It's all Luciferic dialectic to use whoever is a useful idiot to accomplish the decimation of the others. In fact, Albert Pike said this in his last letter, kept in the British Museum until actually people became aware of it. They pulled it from the museum. A high-level Mason back from the 1860s, that they wanted to eventually have a crusade between Islam and the West, the Christian West, to destroy both, because they wanted basically transhumanist, Luciferic Satanism to take over the world, which is where we're going, and the Matrix. And, when we see the burning of the world, you mentioned that on the break, Bill, it's because of a number of climatic things that are occurring, but most of them are caused by us. We haven't fixed post-geriatric nuclear reactors. We're not fixing Fukushima. We allow ultraviolet light to increase now 74% in the last 24 years that are accelerant. We've sprayed basically nanoparticle aluminum as an accelerant to fires along with ultraviolet light. But that's actually so you can convert the upper atmosphere into a plasma so you can control weather. And what people have to understand, these globalists are using every platform possible, science, technology, and even eventually hacking into human consciousness. But the fact is, we've had all these religions for decades and millennia that have all had dialectics of opposition. Islam is just the worst of the ugly examples. Look at the Catholic Church in the Middle Ages, killing the Albigensians and others. Look at the attitudes of politicians through the years and the oppositional powers in our government. Basically, Islam is just the worst of the worst, and they're aligned directly because they want to cause, megadeth. They want to not only destroy our culture like in Europe, but they want to destroy the idea of autonomy and even national borders. That's why they're doing all this stuff, isn't it?
Well, the burning in particular, as you know, I'm keen on applying the doctrine of Islam to whatever they're doing. And one of the things which you mentioned off the air is that Muhammad cut down and burned some trees that were he couldn't drive the Jews out of their out of their forts, so he killed their crops. They were date farmers.
Right. Where was that? Down in Yemen, was it? One of his first jihads, right?
This was not in Yemen. This was 200 miles away from Medina.
Medina, okay. Well, that's one of the first turning points of Islam, because he wasn't really successful until he did this, wasn't he?
He did not achieve success until he became a politician and a jihadist. That was what brought him to success.
Right.
Part of his jihad was destroying crops and trees. Therefore, it is Sunnah, S-U-N-N-A, it is Sunnah, divine perfect example, that Muslims can harm the Kafirs by burning trees. And that's, I think, of course, the beauty of this is you can't really prove it unless you catch them. But I can't help but notice that there's fires going on around the world. And I know that the fires in Greece were definitely caused by Muslims because they caught them.
Well, they caught them, so there's not only pyromaniacs, but also you can have a little green laser on a drone. And they found up in Redding, California, so many drones are interfering with the helicopters. Okay, so
about that.
What we did, I talked about that this morning with Deborah Tavares, and she'll be back on Monday. I know a lot of really nasty things that are going on from classified sources, and I can tell you, this is not all just natural, and some of it is environmental changes. we haven't intervened, which is why our accelerant not only new aluminum nanoparticles, but also ultraviolet light, because we haven't fixed the ozone layer. And even the ground level, sea level of oxygen has dropped from 21 to 19% in the past 20 years. It's all on purpose, which is why the whole world's starting to, quote, burn up. It's all part of the game. Amazing, isn't it?
Well, I find that we find ourselves with so many problems. The way I keep my life simple, Dr. Bill, is I only deal with political Islam, because there are so many things that are bent out of shape now that I'd drive myself crazy if I paid attention to all of them. So I just focused on one.
I don't have to drive myself crazy. I've been crazy for a long time, so I don't have. I'm a millimeter from crazy. So because I face these things and I'm able to handle all of them, I'm able to juggle with a mask on, flaming machetes of truth and news. How's that?
Okay.
So with political Islam, what's going on with Islam now around the world? What's happening in Europe? What's happening in Asia? And again,
massive
this is
migration.
Also, yeah.
Massive migration, and of course, every you know, when I was young, I used to think when I was a boy that political leaders knew more than I did, and therefore they could make decisions which I did not understand. I've now realized that that simply is not the truth. They don't know any more than I do at all, other than about some arcane rules about how committee meetings are to be handled in the Congress.
Right.
But so far as the big issues are concerned, it is astounding how much our leaders can ignore us, and instead they just pay attention to themselves.
Right.
But if on the ground there is a big concern. What's happening in the politics of Europe? I go there once a year because I have an organization that works on politics in Europe. Is that more and more the people are looking and going, to hell with these people. We need to form our own parties, which they call freedom parties, and those are expanding rapidly. Even Sweden will soon has, I think, their third largest party is now a freedom party, which says no to more migration.
Right.
Sweden should be able to figure out what's wrong with migration, because one-third of the women in Sweden, according to records that I've read, have been raped. Now, you would think that would create a...
Whoa, one-third have been raped? That's crazy.
Well, it's more than crazy. It's insane. What's the insane is there's no complaint about it, and what's insane about it is that these are covered up. Do you know how they got rid of the Muslim rape problem in Sweden? The police are forbidden to take any data down which allows any ethnic location of or identification of the rapist. See? Islamic rape, gone.
So in other words, it's basically a whiteout. It's a whiteout technique rather than actually dealing with the issue.
Exactly. So, but this is, but here's what's happening is the police who are supposed to be collecting data for us are now told you must censor the data before you collect it. So this is a form of self-censorship with the police.
Now, why would the politicians and the people who you assume at least have some fraction of decency would allow this to happen? Why?
I cannot figure this out unless it is some perturbed moral position in which they think we're bad and therefore all the people who are poor are victims and therefore we need to give them all we have.
Well, I even go a little further. I think of the Luciferic demonic underbelly. For example, here in politics in America, most people don't realize Luciferic pedophilia and child rape. In fact, this is what Robinson's reporting on, is a Muslim rape trial and pedophilia trial, and that's why they got rid of them, because remember, British politics is rife with pedophilia and child molestation, as well as human sacrifice. It's not an anomaly. It's been going on for hundreds of years, if not longer, in Britain. So the fact that he would expose this rape trial of Islam, it exposes a much wider problem, not only in America, but in Britain and elsewhere.
Well, now we're to basically what Robinson has done is he has found speaking his own ideas. And so therefore, he can't talk against he is an enemy of the state because he does not agree with the state. Britain is now a nation which has said our citizens can no longer be trusted to make decisions. We must make all of them for them. So
Wow. Therefore,
Britain is becoming Soviet Britain, and it was the police are now being used not to handle crime, panel censorship.
Well, look at that baby that was held from so he couldn't go to Italy with the Pope offering to provide care for the baby, so the parents had to give up and the baby died. They had all these police outside. I'll tell you what I would have done. I would have hired a SWAT team, and the police, if they get in the way, I would kill them. I would kill them on the way to taking my baby to the helicopter, and they can go to hell. How's that?
All right.
All right.
Bill, we're going to be saying goodbye here.
I appreciate you. You did an amazing job. Go to politicalislam.com. Get those books.
Thanks.
Get those numbers back up again. Politicalislam.com. Read the books. Read the, you know, as they say, read and weep and then act. How's that?
You do it. You got it.
Take care. And we have the legal counsel for Gun Owners of America, and Mike Hammond is here. And Mike, you have several issues to cover, and I want you to cover these two main issues. Well, number one, the one that came up that the NRA talked about on the news on Fox, both the plastic guns and the printable guns, 3D, they call it, 3D guns.
Yeah.
And the other is the issue of the sanctions where people are actually getting, you know, gun confiscation across the country in various districts where they try to pass laws in counties or whatever, like outside Chicago, and confiscate guns or give giant fines. So I'm going to let you run. We have two segments here, so tell us all the truth about what's going on behind here and what's really happening.
Let me start with 3D printers, because that's what you'd initially said that you were interested in. That's certainly in the news right now.
Right.
Basically, the deal is this. Cody Wilson in Texas is basically has sent over the Internet a code. It's just like any other computer code. But if you're very wealthy and can spend up to $600,000, the code will allow you to use your 3D printer in order to make a plastic gun. Now, as I said, everything that goes on over the Internet goes in some form of code. And now the anti-gunners are just goose-stepping up and down the street because, lo and behold, they want to ban this particular type of code because they don't like the content of it. Now, the First Amendment is, I mean, not absolute, but when you start saying that you can regulate the Internet and ban speech because you don't like the content, you're going down a very, very dangerous path under those circumstances.
Right.
Now, if you were basically talking about the blueprints of a nuclear bomb, that might be a little different. The First Amendment is an absolute, and if there's a massive, massive, immediate, imminent danger, it can be offset. But, of course, the thing about 3D guns is this. First of all, they are extremely expensive in order to produce. As a matter of fact, before the State Department tried to ban Cody Wilson's programs, about 100,000 of these recipes were downloaded, and as nearly as anyone can tell, it had 0.0% on crime or terrorism. Criminals just don't get their guns from their $600,000 3D printers.
I know, they can get it illegally, and they get good quality, high quality guns, but the filing off the serial numbers of them, or if they're the actual government, like Fast and Furious, there are no serial numbers on the guns in the first place.
Yeah, and the guns don't explode in your face. And a lot of these 3D guns, and I haven't tried to fire one. I've talked to people who have, who said that it's a very, very dangerous proposition unless you basically take a metal barrel and put it on the gun. Unless you take that metal barrel, there's certainly a chance about the second or third firing that the thing is going to explode in your face. Now, if the problem is that, they can get these things onto airplanes, guess what? Metal barrels register on metal detectors. Furthermore, bullets register on metal detectors, and plastic guns, even if they don't have bullets or metal barrels, register on X-ray machines and body scanners.
Right.
So it's an issue which has 0.0% relevance to anything, except that there are people in this country who despise guns, who ultimately want to eliminate private ownership of guns, and who are use any excuse excuse or any issue to move a needle closer to the total confiscation of firearms.
Yeah, and let me expand it just a little bit, because I know in the future, in 5 to 10 years from now, a lot of other types of exotic weapons are going to replace guns. For example, drones. The pellet guns that contain a little capsule that can shoot a little ball, let's say, of 2 or 3 centimeters across, they get you with a spray that can literally knock you down or knock down technologies and so on. And lethal technologies that can be scalar, like direct phase guns.
Yeah.
What people need to start understanding is it's not guns they hate, it's self-defense they hate. They don't want us to have self-defense. Because if you're a woman, 120-pound woman, and you're in a parking garage with a 300-pound man, or if you're an elderly person, your self-defense is you have a concealed carry permit. All of a sudden, that 300-pound man becomes a 105-pound equivalent person, which you can easily deal with.
I think it's also that they hate gun owners. They understand that the reason Hillary Clinton didn't win is because gun owners came out and realized that she would have taken this country in a really nasty fascist direction. And similarly, I think the reason the House is now in control of Republicans and the Senate as well, I think they understand correctly The Second Amendment community is probably the most significant remaining pillar beneath the conservative movement.
Right.
And if they remove that pillar, they will fundamentally transform America. I mean, not only did the Second Amendment community basically stop virtually all federal anti-gun legislation over the last 30 years. In addition, we were responsible for stopping an amnesty bill, which would have turned the entire country into California demographically, and we were responsible for putting the skids on a bipartisan agreement on Obamacare, and because of its anti-gun ramifications. And
right.
Had we not done that, then Republicans wouldn't have taken over the House in 2010, redistricting wouldn't have done what it did, and the fundamental electoral landscape would be different. So destroy the Second Amendment, destroy the Second Amendment community, and you basically shift the national demographic in a direction which dramatically favors fascism, repression, large government.
Exactly. I want to mention a topic here I didn't mention before we talked today. It's an article on Rolling Stone. It's called "The NRA Says It's in Deep Financial Trouble, Maybe Unable to Exist." And I don't want to go through all the details of it, but they've been in a battle for years now with the district in New York. And what's happening to the NRA? The NRA, by the way, has done some good things, but they also have not dealt with a lot of issues that the GOA have dealt with. And the NRA basically are in a battle now where they can't get insurance. They can't even get bank deposits and so on, and they can't insure even their conferences now. So things are really going to get dicey, because they're de facto trying to actually get rid of the National Rifle Association. Are similar attacks happening against the GOA? Because
I can talk a little about that. Actually, I was supposed to do a TV program on that today. That didn't happen. But the situation they're talking about is this. In America, a few very large banks and financial institutions centered in New York are responsible for a lot of who gets loans. I mean, my house loan I got from a local bank, but fairly soon it was sucked up by Bank of America. So they're responsible for a lot of the loans in America, but even more importantly, they're responsible for credit card processing. And so if these financial institutions say, we're not going to process credit cards for gun dealers, at that point, that really goes after people who manufacture or who deal in guns. Now, Barack Obama tried this little game. It was called Operation Choke Point. You remember that? The Federal Reserve and the FDIC defined gun manufacturing and dealing to be a high-risk occupation and advised the banks not to get involved in any way in financial activities with them. We were successful. And I drafted an amendment which was successful in basically killing Operation Choke Point. But now the banks, saying they're in New York, responsive to things like the New York Times and MSNBC, are themselves beginning to play this game of trying to use their financial power in order to keep the gun manufacturers and dealers from the resources that they need.
Exactly. Keep that thought. We'll be right back. That's amazingly evil, isn't it?
Most.
You want to close off that last topic, and then we want to get into the gun confiscation, the kind of the crawling, grabbing movement by the gun grabbers to get even worse, to make a defenseless population, not against guns, just guns, but make us defenseless against any kind of tyranny. Finish off the other topic first.
Yeah, well, to close the loop, I mean, we were talking about the fact that banks and large financial institutions in New York who have almost a stranglehold on who gets a loan in America and which credit cards are processed in America have decided to begin cracking down and removing credit and credit processing from gun manufacturers and gun dealers. I had mentioned over the break that I had been very active all winter. I drafted an amendment that says that no bank who receives any taxpayer largesse, which all of them do, can discriminate against any business based on its exercise of its Second Amendment rights. That would have taken care of the problem completely. And furthermore, there was a vehicle, a partial repeal of Dodd-Frank, that was coming through the Senate and House, and which provided a lot of benefits to the banks that the banks were screaming for. Ironically and sadly, we could not get the senators or representatives who claim to love the Second Amendment, claim to like the NRA, we could not get them to lift a finger in order to amend that must-pass bill with language to protect gun manufacturers and gun dealers from this sort of discrimination.
Wow. And this is even despite the fact some of these people claim to be gun advocates, they didn't lift a finger, right?
Chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, Mike Crapo of Idaho, claims to be one of the most pro-gun people around. We couldn't get him to help us.
Why do you think that is? What's your diagnosis? Why do you think they did it?
I think because the bank contributions were more important than the Second Amendment to him.
Right, and bank contributions from gun grabbers, in other words. Right?
Yeah, are huge. Well, bank contributions from people who care about nothing but the bottom line, but are perfectly happy to destroy the Second Amendment if they think it will help their financial situation.
Right. Now, it's my suspicion that after 2024, when Trump's finished his next 7 years, plus a few months.
Yeah, your voice to God's ear.
Right. I'm very concerned that after Trump, whether we have a replacement for Trump that's going to be Trump-like or Trump-ish, that we may have a state of extreme tyranny, because I don't see the swamp monster slain so far. I see Hillary Clinton finishing book tours. I see Comey on book tours. I see these people like Strzok strutting around. They should change the name from Strzok to Strut, because he struts around like, hey, don't think you're going to get me, and then he puts his eyes forward and puts his angry eyes look on, you know, like Mr. Potato Head. It's like, dang it, you know, this is really out of touch. And the fact is, if they threaten to take away the guns of Americans, you're going to see secession. You're going to see the number of states will secede from the Union. And I'm really warning this. It'll happen in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Louisiana, and Arkansas, and you're going to see America break up. People say,
well,
that can't happen.
I mean, Texas, a couple big Texas Texas politicians are recently flipped over and are pushing, actively pushing gun control right now.
I don't think that'll work in Texas. It doesn't matter how many politicians
We'll see. In fact, the Fix Nix bill pushed by Senator John Cornyn of Texas is now public law. So,
What's the Fix Nix bill? Give the details.
It basically spends $625 million in order to encourage states to send up to 4 million additional names to the federal gun ban system. So that was thank you, Texas, for that.
And then why would they do that? I mean,
pushing these gun confiscation orders.
Well, you know, you see various districts around the country trying to pass gun confiscation, like a district near Chicago. It's in the gun-free zones. I saw this morning a number of black people protesting the mayor of Chicago, saying it is not in touch with reality. And, in fact, it's in the no-gun zones where the gun violence happens because
Illinois has just passed these gun confiscation order legislation. Maryland has, too. Maryland, a few years back, basically banned all semi-automatics. They drove semi-automatic manufacturing out of the state. They adopted every anti-gun fascist provision you could think of. And guess what happened? Baltimore immediately became the most dangerous city in the world. I mean, it just became a cesspool of crime.
Right. And, of course, criminals don't want to print a gun at $750,000 for a 3D printer that'll go blow up in their face after the third shot. They get the illegal guns, and they can get them pretty easy.
Yep, they can get them very easy, and they can get them with the serial numbers filed off as well. So, the second thing I'd wanted to talk about is these gun confiscation orders. They're called red flag laws, and they're being pushed by Governor Abbott of Texas, among other things.
Why would he push this? This is craziness, isn't it?
Because these politicians think, well, if I pass this little gun control light, maybe everyone will like me.
You've got to be kidding.
In fact, what happens is no one likes you. The gun grabbers certainly aren't going to give
Abbott
any credit.
No. And it's like giving a dog a piece of meat, but he doesn't want one piece, he wants the whole bowl.
Yeah,
so the Democrats are
does nothing but create a platform for the anti-gun movement to make its next series of demands. It'll have no impact whatsoever.
It's like a hungry animal. Yeah.
It will have the impact it will have is USA Today on July the 10th, I think it was, published a huge front page article. The theme was, good, now we've gotten a few states to pass these gun confiscation orders. We can use them in order to take away Gramps' guns. That is, and it predicted that by 2050 there will be from 8 to 12 million senior citizens who have guns, but who have been diagnosed with at least a tiny amount of dementia. And these 12 million people, I mean, the goal of these red flag laws or gun confiscation orders is to strip these 12 million people of all of their firearms. Now, my mother had Alzheimer's. I mean, by the time she died, she was comatose. And she had a gun until the day she died. And guess what? She wasn't going to go hunting. She wasn't even going to use it for self-defense. That gun was irrelevant to my mother. But I will bet that it would have been a real problem if the police showed up at her door to ransack her house and seize the gun, and if she resisted, to arrest or even shoot her. I mean, that's the name of the game here. These ex parte secret star chamber orders, which are being pushed in more and more states, called gun confiscation orders, but they're sugar-coated as red flag laws because no one has any problem with red flags. But these secret hearings, the police or an angry ex can get a judge to strip you of your constitutional rights, not only your Second Amendment, but your Fourth Amendment, your 14th Amendment.
So these are happening more and more where an ex, for example, can get somebody to have a SWAT team come by and grab your guns.
Yeah, exactly. And so they show up. The police show up at your door with their order, and these statutes are sort of mass-produced, I think, by the Bloomberg organization.
Right.
I've read about 30 of them, and they're identical in most of the details. It's obvious they were written by a single person and basically reproduced on a Xerox machine.
Right.
And so they're deliberately hazy on what happens when the police show up at your door. But some are very expansive. In New York, it's pretty clear that they ransack your house. In other states, it's not immediately clear, but you can bet that that's going to be the outcome of it. If
right.
you resist, and we've been talking about, you talked earlier about secession, about people resisting having their guns seized from them. If you resist, then you are going to be arrested or perhaps even shot. And if you don't believe that's going to happen, remember Ruby Ridge and Waco. So it's a really, really nasty development. We have been successful. They tried to push them in about 30 states. We've been successful in stopping them in all but the most fascist states. But at this point, we're fighting in Texas and New Hampshire and Nevada.
Wow. So these gun seizure activities are literally picking off one by one people that either relatives or the government or corporations don't like.
Yeah.
Wow. God help us, literally.
Well, yeah, literally. I think perhaps more literal than you intended. Yeah. We pray that God will, in fact, help.
Join GOA, join Gun Owners of America. How do they get hit? The website is?
GunOwners.org.
GunPeriods.org. Excellent. Thank you, Mike Hammond. Amazing.
Have you had credit challenges?
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.